Okay, yeah, everything is good. All right, everyone, it's the Grimlord here, and I'm doing Grim interviews, which we haven't done in a long time, but we're going to start back up. I've got a bunch of guests that I want to try to get on the show, and I've got a returning guest, which is Maya-chan. For those of you that don't
hello,
know who
hello.
You For those of you who don't know who you are, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name's Maya. I am an aspiring sex therapist, sex educator. I am a big weeb fan of erogay visual novels. My main focus is in pornography and the things that we can learn from pornography and the education that is surrounded in such sexually explicit media.
Okay. You also have a big background in feminism and feminist studies, which is important here.
Correct.
Too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the first big question is, there's been a lot of talk about introducing, you know, young children into the adult world, you know, especially by means of touch and play and things like that, which I think is just maybe a little bit uncalled for. I think maybe, you know, too young is a term. But what do you think on the whole subject of getting kids into this kind of...
Are you talking like transgender?
No, we're talking... Not necessarily that. We're talking about like the Tennessee woman that said toddlers, you know, need to touch themselves anyway, so they should learn about touch. And they're also trying to teach kids things and kindergarten.
Anyway.
Well, they're trying to teach
they
them
shouldn't
about...
be taught how
yes.
to.
But what do you think about that?
I think there are degrees of acceptable sex education that goes into all fields, K-12, preschool. But the important thing is those shades of distinction, right?
Yeah.
The earliest that we see a lot of kids, minors, whichever word you want to use, explore some sort of explicit sex would be sometimes around the age of 13 is going to be the earliest, maybe even 12. However, if we're talking about younger than that, especially in elementary school, preschool, a lot of the stuff that at least I advocate for is quote unquote sex education that is not explicitly sex education. So you're talking about stuff like what is consent? You're talking to a bunch of kids going, can you just grab that kid's toy? Or, you know, can you just grab that kid's hair? You know,
right.
If you want to touch a kid's hair, you know, you got to ask for consent. Hey, can I touch your hair? You wish for the yes or the we wait for the no. Simple things like that. When it comes to stuff like masturbation or stuff like that, a kid's going to touch themselves from a very, very early age. They're going to learn what that is without any intervention whatsoever. It's
right.
Their body. That's what's going to happen. If they figure it out by themselves, we can't really do anything about that.
Absolutely.
However, we can go through those shades of distinction. Let's learn about what consent is. Let's learn about what physical boundaries are, you know. Where can you, you know, acceptably touch your friends? You touch them on the shoulder. Can you touch them on the head? Let's probably not touch these, you know, your friends on the chest or anything like that. So there are very much, for me at least, shades of distinction that go into that sex education. Going as far as like, let's talk about what sex is from like preschool age. Probably not that appropriate. Probably going to be really confused and maybe a little bit
right.
I don't know.
Right.
Traumatic at that point, but
yeah, I think so too. That's a little too young for anything like that. I mean, I've talked to, you know, other people in mental health and stuff about that, and of course, it's just it's never good to kind of teach children about. I mean, well, also, you know, when they start talking about good touch and bad touch in schools, that's sometimes how a lot of perverts get outed, you know, because a lot of because the child would be like, oh well, so-and-so's my uncle or my father, friend of my father, friend of my mother. They were touching me in a way that's like that. And then they find out, oh yeah, this person was absolutely, I mean, that happens. It's been happening more often. So that's not necessarily a bad thing in that regards. I think children should definitely know what the difference between good touch and bad touch is. And they used to teach that. I don't know if they still do, but they definitely need to do, to teach that and get, you know, some of these people that are just doing things behind the parents' back and stuff like that. Because, I mean, it goes on, unfortunately. We have a really sad world, and people do take advantage of children, and it's awful.
True. I think that those physical boundary, learning about physical boundaries from a very young age is incredibly important. I know that a lot of the talk about sex education, stuff about physical boundaries has kind of been grouped into the, you know, talk of sex education. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people, particularly in the, say, Republican side, or at least that side, kind of saying, no sex education at all, including stuff regarding boundaries and stuff like that.
Right.
In terms of politics and stuff, it can get really touchy. It can get really complicated. And a lot of it is just come to political posturing, which is kind of sad and doesn't help anyone at all.
Yeah, I do agree with that. You know,
I think in some, you know, the parents should take charge of teaching their kids before the government does.
Yeah, but the problem is that sometimes the parents just aren't, let's be honest, some parents aren't parents.
Yeah,
you know, they just don't know how to parent their kid. They don't know how to teach their kid. They're too busy arguing things on Facebook and other kinds of other, they're not paying attention to the kids. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll just let Fortnite raise the kid. We'll let, you know, you don't even know, Roblox. There was somebody making adult material on Roblox, and kids, you know, can apparently easily access that. So it's not necessarily
Think the at least this is my view on it going into stuff like sex mm-hmm. education, but regarding public schools and, you know, letting the government parent our children and that kind of stuff, I think there needs to be a role in schools,
mm-hmm.
all schools, regardless of if it's public or private or whatnot, to have someone, which would, I think the closest that we have now would be a counselor or a school psychologist who is trained in these kinds of things to go in and, you know, hold these classes or these seminars once a year or whatnot, to have someone who is specialized in those things, to get someone who's a, I don't know, an English teacher or, a history teacher and just hand them a piece of paper that says, here, this is when to get what you're going to teach the children. Probably not that good, since it is a very touchy, specialized topic.
Right.
Also, yeah. I'd say, like, counselors back in the day weren't as much biased on one side of the political spectrum or the other. And,
yeah.
I mean, if they were, they didn't try to teach it to your kids or push it on them.
Yeah.
But now it mm-hmm. seems like everyone's trying to go in that direction.
And I was talking to a therapist who said that, I'll bet you somebody else had popped in. I was talking to a therapist at one time that said, we're not supposed to take a side when it comes to, you know, the things that people, children tell us or anybody tells us. We're supposed to be completely unbiased. And unfortunately, that wasn't my experience when I was talking to therapists. And, you know, they say, oh, it's good to get therapy. Well, yeah, but at the same time, you find people that are extremely politically biased to the point that that's what they want to talk to you about rather than about yourself.
Oh,
I've actually had that happen. So, I mean, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the kind of person that could be talking with your kid. And the bad thing about it is you don't know who that is. Like, I think that parents maybe should meet these people. You know, I think parents really should. I mean, parents should be involved in their kids' life.
Well, they should have a say in it, too.
Yeah.
Because now it's, we're teaching your kid this, and if you don't
mm-hmm.
like it, tough luck. But,
mm-hmm.
right.
No, I totally agree. I do also think that political biases have kind of become more, what's the correct word I'm looking for? More socially biased in our culture today. I'm in my 20s, but I know that, you know, a while ago it was, you know, regardless of what political side you were on, you could still be, you know, friendly with your neighbor. Right. It wasn't necessarily that big of a deal who you voted for. Whereas of now with social media, it has become a big part of everyone's identity, which I think is kind of sad. And, I mean, God forbid it leads us to the next civil war, but I do think it's unfortunately a big part of our culture now.
Well, yeah. You know, going, piggybacking off that, we also have like a government disinformation board now. I don't know if you've been really hearing too much about this. So, you know, basically I looked up the CEO. And the CEO is definitely a feminist, like 100%, but she's on the radical side of the spectrum. And she wrote a book called How to Be a Woman Online. Now, this book on Amazon, I decided to look at some reviews for it. The highest numbered review, which got 178, you know, likes, that's what people said, that they 178 people found this helpful. The person gave it 1 star, and the guy said this book is very, very, very anti-male. And just straight up talked about, you know, how much she was bashing men and treating every man. Basically, she was saying to treat every man that speaks to a woman on the internet, every encounter, as a bad as bad faith. Like, and I'm like, that's not good. That's not helpful. So if we've got this kind of person with what I would really consider to be extremely radical beliefs, controlling a major part of the United States government, especially when it comes to information, that's really scary.
You know what they're going to be
about. Right.
And not only that, people on Twitter have talked about it, and people on Twitter are basically saying, look, any man that disagrees with you is considered a troll. So that's not a good thing. Yeah, that's pretty much what she was saying.
Well, you know that's in response to Elon Musk buying Twitter. Because now Democrats are worried, oh, now they're going to do what we did to them. But, you know.
Well, I mean, it's not so much even the Democrats as it is the left.
Or the left
in general, yeah.
I'd say it's almost one and the same at this point.
Not exactly, because I know some people that are on that spectrum that don't think that.
Know a couple of old-fashioned Democrats, or which
I mean,
not that old, is just what, maybe 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, maybe something like that. But it's unfair to paint them all under the same brush. But I do think absolutely we have a lot of like full-on leftists that are trying to police things, and that's why I'm really glad about the whole Elon Musk thing. Like I think when he basically took that over. And what did he do? He said, I want to promote speech. He says, he's like, I don't like the far left. I don't like the far right. He's like, I just, and he literally posted a meme where he's like, look, I was closer on the progressive spectrum, which I was closer on the progressive spectrum, but then the progressive spectrum became the left. And then it showed him moving closer to the right because he didn't want to be with the left because the progressive stuff that he was into has moved over to this radicalism. And I'm like, yeah, that's not cool. And then, of course, you get too far into the far right and you're into anti-Semitism, white nationalism, things like that. And, I mean, it's really too much. So, I mean, even here in the manosphere, there's a lot of guys that are like, I mean, if you look at, I don't know if you've ever been to our little site, but there's constant like videos now of, and there was at one time, it was constantly like, this woman did this, this woman did that, this woman did this, this woman did that, this woman did this. And it's basically like, okay, it's basically trying to tell men, oh, don't go with any of these women ever, you know. And I get it. There are definitely women out there that are absolutely up to no good, just like there's men up there that are up to no good. There's definitely men out there that are going to.
Well, you shouldn't trust all women. You shouldn't
trust all men. And and basically, I was listening to J-Doll, who's a doll owner, very popular on YouTube. He was talking with a guy that I do shows with, Drexel and the MGTOWN podcast, and he's like, look. He said, I don't have the negativity towards women that I see a lot of other guys. He said, if anything, there's a lot of guys out there that are really not worth these women dating at all. Yeah. Like, they're just not, they're not really, he's basically saying, if you were a woman, you wouldn't want to date any of these guys, you wouldn't want to mess with any of these guys, you wouldn't even want to say so much as how you doing to some of these guys, because they're just a little weird, you know?
Yeah.
And our generation, like, you know, we were raised without all the technology, so we had to talk and learn social skills and stuff like that, and you see guys that can't even really say hello, they can't do a sentence.
I would say on that end, right. There's a time when you could date a woman that probably had a lower job or a lower paying job than you, and it wouldn't bother you. But on the other end of the spectrum, a guy couldn't do that, be a lower pay. But, you know, there's different cases of that.
Right.
The exception, but,
You know, I mean,
a lot of women won't give you the time of day.
Oh, yeah. See, but one of the things he said, and I think this might be true. I don't know. Like, I don't know what you've heard growing up. But basically, he was saying that young women are taught that, you know, the man that they marry has to have good money. He has to be able to, you know, support her as far as, like, you can't just date for love or somebody you like. They have to be able to support you. They have to be able to, you know, have all these things. And sometimes the media tells women certain things too, like, oh yeah, you need to date a guy that looks like this and stuff. And I mean, it, and looks are great.
very different from what I've grown up with. However, I will say that my experience growing up is a little different. My father was likable in our community, grew up in a really small town, but he was not a very well-functioning father. And given, you know, like I said, I'm in my mid-20s, I'm on the literal cutoff year between millennial and Gen Z. So as far as I'm concerned, I grew up with social media, but on the very, very beginning of it.
Right.
When I started dating, when I started looking around for partners, what I looked for was basically just love and companionship.
Right.
I didn't look at what anyone had for money. I didn't look at what anyone had for, you know, could you support me? Is, from what I've learned from growing up, from social media and from, you know, feminist movements growing up, was you should be able to handle yourself and be independent for yourself regardless of a man.
Right.
Do I still believe that today? Absolutely.
Right.
But one of my most recent partners works for the federal government and has been able to pretty much sugar daddy me, and I'm not used to that. It took me a really long time for me to kind of accept that he was going to spend more money on me than I could spend on myself, and that took a lot of time for me to accept that. I'm also polyamorous. I'm solo polyamorous. So a lot of my my romantic relationships are you know, my partners can go date other partners, you know, I'll go date other people and so on and so forth. But when it comes to looking for partners, particularly male partners, it was more of a love and intimate connection than it ever was for money. And when money was put into the picture, it took me a while to come to terms with that, I guess.
Well, so how much of an age difference is the gentleman that you said is basically sugar daddying you?
He's, oh gosh, only a year or two older than me.
Okay, so it's not near.
Not full sugar daddy. No.
You're just saying that he's. That's, I mean, yeah. There's
he likes
wrong
to
that.
Spend money on me, and it took me a while for me to come to accept that.
Right, because you're not used to men treating you like that. I guess.
It feels weird.
It is
For a girl, like, you want to go half or something, or. And be like,
right.
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, I'm a little traditional.
So. Right, right. I get that. I mean, that works. And, I mean, polyamory. See, this is something I really kind of want explained a little. Like, from somebody that's actually in the life. Now, is this similar to swinging? Because I've been reading a comic book called Swing that was written by swingers. So, I want to know exactly.
Based, don't worry.
Well, no, the difference
very
is.
Very different. Very okay. different. Okay. Swingers, swingers are already established monogamous couples that will trade partners, for lack of a better
okay.
term.
Yeah, that's
or,
what they're
you know, will kind of go on for sex parties or something like that. Polyamory from this part, from what I practice, is solo polyamory, which basically means that, let's say I'm on a dating app or something and mm-hmm. I'm talking to this girl. And she doesn't have to be involved with my other partners.
Okay.
If she doesn't want to be involved with my other partners, whether that's sexually, romantically, or even really being friends with them, she does not have to. A lot of the times when you have a person who is, or a couple, I want to say, usually a straight monogamous couple will go on a dating apps or, you know, whatever, and they'll say, we're looking for mm-hmm. our girlfriend, or we're okay. looking for a girlfriend for us. Most of the time, it's a girlfriend. No, it's almost really? Never we're looking... Oh, excuse me. It almost the time, it's never looking for a boyfriend for us. Almost always a girl.
Wow.
And it's almost always a straight man and a bisexual woman in that monogamous relationship.
No, that
but we
does...
tend to call that... We tend to call that unicorn hunting.
Kind of a vague position
yes.
on polygamy, except without
okay.
marriage.
Okay, now this actually is a little bit of swinging, because when I was reading swing, that's actually a term they used, exactly what you said. The unicorn hunting, mm-hmm. which was the solo girl that's looking for couples, is what it was considered,
right.
the unicorn. So it is a little bit, the only difference between what they were talking about with swing was they would have these parties, obviously the masquerade party, something like that, where everybody would kind of hide who they were, but they would get together and there were different ribbons that people would wear. Basically, one ribbon meant that mm-hmm. you weren't there to do anything. One ribbon meant you were there for couples. One ribbon, I mean, it always has different meanings. But yeah, it's pretty much along the lines of what you said here. So it is definitely a type of swinging, which I honestly don't have an issue with. Of course, the guy that I've done podcasts with, he's in the swinger life. He's got all kinds of girlfriends. He'll actually, when he meets a girl, he'll show pictures of other girls he's been with. And
right.
he finds that they actually really get into that. And one of the reasons why he says they do that is because it means he has options. He's a guy that other women want.
Yeah.
So they find that really attractive. And this is a guy that he was in the, the Dominican Republic about a week ago, looking at all the girls over here. He's like, there's a woman over here. I mean, he's enjoying it. So, I mean, I have nothing against it.
Regardless of what the quote-unquote unicorn wants, if she is looking for a situation like that,
yeah,
more power to her. However, the reason that I personally mm-hmm. don't like it, I've been a unicorn before.
Right.
I've been in this situation before. The reason I don't like it is because the woman, the bisexual woman, the unicorn, ends up kind of becoming an object for the couple, because,
right.
you know, the
right.
couple is a monogamous couple. They already have their, you know, their one and only, yada, yada. And they're mostly looking for just either companionship overall or just a sex partner, which means that the wants and yearnings and certain, you know, personable and human connection that the unicorn at some point is going to want, because
right.
they're human,
right.
Isn't addressed. And that ends up becoming a really big problem when that is unfortunately the first stepping stone for a lot of monogamous couples that want to go into polyamory. There has to be some sort of individual separation between the previous monogamous couple mm-hmm. in order for more people to start entering your sphere of intimacy. Which is kind of sounds hypocritical at first, but
right.
It's complicated. It's complicated.
So how long have you actually been in this whole world of polyamory? And
I've been polyamorous for, oh geez. 1, 2, 3. I would say almost close to 10 years of my life.
Oh, wow.
I started dating monogamous when I first started dating, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because of the guys I was dating at the port, but it just didn't work for me. I didn't want to necessarily be tied down by one person or, have my partner tell me what I can and cannot do when it comes to other people, whether they are friends or family or, whatever.
Right. So, yeah. Was there any, I mean, you've been in this life for a while now. Have there ever been any real red flag situations, like you were getting involved with somebody and you were like, oh no, this is not going to work for me? And you were pretty much trying to find the door out? Yeah.
Mostly couples. Mostly couples. Whenever I've dated solo polyamory, which just means, I'm starting to date someone as a monogamous person would, I haven't really had very many red flags. If someone says that they're, that they're not willing to quote unquote share me, I'll just drop it. That's not what this is about.
Absolutely.
But my biggest red flags have been with couples. If I meet someone and they're like, oh no, you have to be with my girlfriend or you have to also be with my boyfriend, that's a big red flag to me. I won't do it.
Now, what do you think about the growing mainstream acceptance of polyamory? As a matter of fact, we're actually seeing a decrease in marriage and more people opening up to multiple relationships with different people. That just seems to be the way of things as it's going. So what do you think about the acceptance of that and the changing in the sphere as, we're used to a society in which there was the husband and the wife and, of course, the family and things like that. And we're now having, people aren't even getting married as much as they would. Even, you did say there were couples, but not everybody's actually getting married. So what do you think about all that? Do you think this is kind of just a new phase in humanity? Like we're going somewhere else and kind of maybe shoving off the old, the old way of doing things, the old marriage and all that kind of stuff? Or do you think this...
I think we're getting to a stage of, kind of growing pains in terms of culture, especially, mm-hmm. I guess, American culture.
Yeah.
With the rise of, women's rights and women entering the workforce and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Housing markets and all that bullshit, right?
Yes.
I know a lot of people who are like, fuck having a one person or a one family home. I'm going to have all my friends together and we're going to own a house and it's going to be, all roommates, and maybe and then that roommate ends up, the whole house of roommates ends up becoming entangled with each other in one way or another. It is definitely a growing pains thing that has come out of the emergence of women's rights and stuff like that. Now, granted, I don't think everyone is born non-monogamous, and I don't think everyone is born monogamous.
Right.
But it's definitely a growing pains thing for sure. Once we start figuring out, coming to a social normalization of this person has multiple partners or, whatnot. Once we get through that growing pain, I think it'll be a little better. But I think overall it's a good thing. Once we start getting through that growing pain, it'll start, evening out a little bit. But I think it's a good thing, but I'm not gonna say that it's this is how it should be forever.
Right.
Definitely growing pain.
Yeah. I mean, I believe everybody should have the right to their own choice when it comes to, what their love life is going to be. And also, that's why I'm so much into this. It's called I don't know if you've read the article. I'm sure in the Weeb area somewhere it came about. But basically, the guy that was in love with Hatsune Miku, Remember that the software had apparently, I mean, he was basically married to her.
I think I remember reading this, yes.
And
I know which one you're talking about.
Okay. Well, he was trying to raise awareness for fictosexuals. And fictosexual is anybody that has an attachment to a character from a cartoon, a video game, a book. There's actually bibliosexual. And they said there's actually an attraction for people that are... That if you have an attraction to characters from visual novels, that one kind of took me aback a bit. Because I'm like, oh shit, that actually I might actually be under that umbrella a little bit. Because, I mean, it was...
I'm hesitant to maybe accept that as it's portrayed as of right now. I think there definitely a space for... for lack of a more politically correct term, hikikomoris, people who just aren't that comfortable in more social spaces. Right. But what I think, you know, fictosexual or, you know, bibliosexual or however you want to call it, might be more accepted or more leaning towards individuals who would be more interested in some sort of prostitution. So let's say, for instance, you have, you know, a specific interest in, as this guy, you know, Hatsune Miku. You know, he wants to be with Hatsune Miku. Maybe he finds a particularly open cosplayer or, you know, a prostitute that would be willing to dress up as the character and act like the character for him. Honestly, I think that's great. That's a, you know...
I don't have a problem with that. But what I'm saying here is this, I've noticed, and this isn't just me. I mean, I just listened to an interview today from J-Doll. He's got 5 sex dolls. He doesn't have sex with any of them. And he said in the interview, he said, I didn't know if it was going to be a few months. I didn't know if it was going to be, you know, he said, maybe I just have to get attached, right? And this is a man that's had sex with all kinds of women. He's constantly, I mean, that was his thing. He banged all kinds of women. I mean, and he basically said, you know, he said there were certain things he just wasn't willing to compromise on, and that's why he went with the doll life. Now, what he was saying is he liked the fact that they could, you know, I guess he didn't like a lot of the drama and things that can happen in relationships. He says that he liked just the quietness and all that kind of thing. And it really worked for him. But he kept trying to develop, like, he said, well, maybe if I develop a connection, I'll want to have sex with him. And he said it's been years and he still just never got the attachment. And he said, if I want to, I can. I mean, it's there. But he doesn't feel like the need to. He says, I have it for more of a... He says, when I'm working and when I come home, I like to have something there waiting on me. That's what he said. I like to have something there waiting on me. And I don't want to deal with all the... This is a man that's been with all kinds of women. It's not something you're going to be able to understand. But this is a man that's already done the thing.
Could be a tree, it could be a plant.
Well, yeah, but, but that's things. What he wants. He wants the form of a woman,
without the work.
Well, that, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want to have to deal with all that, because he says, you know, we're on this planet for just so long, and he would rather have something that he comes home to that makes him happy than deal with, you know... Because some women can absolutely make your life a living hell. And, of course, he was saying it's not the women in general. He said it's not the sex. He said the sex was great. He has no problem with that. He actually, you know, Drexel always talks bad about black women. But he actually just says, no, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them at all. He says, I don't know what kind of black women you're dating because the ones I've been with are absolutely great. He said, this is a completely different take than what we normally get here. And he's like, well, I like having my dolls. He calls them my forever girls. He says, I like having my forever girls. You know, they're there.
You know,
and
I think I know women who are the same way. Maybe not with dolls.
Yeah.
But I know women who are the same way with their plushies or, you know, whatever other thing or mm-hmm. or you know, activity that gives them pause in life and that gives them that right. kind of peace. And you know what? Live and let live.
Absolutely.
For either for men or women, that's fine.
Yeah, I've got nothing against it at all. You know, like I said, it's just that, yeah, the guy with Hatsune Miku, he said that basically he just liked to have her on in the background when he worked. He basically, he liked having the feeling of her next to him, but he didn't want, like, I don't know if he, he says he's fictosexual, which means he can't get with real women. It doesn't work for him with real women. And that's one of the big things about the fictosexual that I was learning, because I was learning, you know, just reading that article. I was like, oh, my God. And, right. yeah, I mean, that's if that works for people and they can get into it, that's a thing that other people are going to have to deal with, especially like if you have, because it was asked to him, it was like, okay, how would you talk to a woman that wanted to get in a relationship with a guy who owned a doll? And he mm-hmm. basically said, this is how I do it as a doll owner. And as a man that's, he's got all kinds of, you know, female friends he talks to, you know, they know what's going on. He basically says, look, he basically says, I'm going to have to make him an ultimatum. He says, the doll is not going anywhere. He's like, anybody that gets in between me and her, you know, there's going to be a problem. He's basically saying that, you know, if you don't like that, you can go. And I mean, some people may think that's a little harsh, but that's also a part of his life.
I see.
And
well,
that's
I don't
what
really
I was.
Believe him from that.
Well, what he says is they would mostly stay. Because there's a lot of women that'd be like, oh, this guy has options. He's got other things he can do. He doesn't need. Basically, he doesn't need me to keep him happy. He's got other things to, you know, basically, he's not a simp. He's not going to be like, oh, I need you, blah, blah, blah. No. He's got other means and methods that can keep him, you know.
Well, I mean, all guys have that.
Well, no, they
masturbation.
Not.
Masturbation.
Well, that's not necessarily.
I would agree to an extent. I've had similar conversations with mm-hmm. men who are interested in me who say, you know, I really like you and I really want to be with you, but, you know, you gotta drop this whole visual novel thing. It's weird.
Yeah,
and
see,
I'm like,
I couldn't make that.
Fuck you, bye.
Right. I couldn't make that. See, that's one thing. He's not willing to compromise. And what that is that's kind of like a shit test on men's part. That's saying, hey, you know, if you can't compromise, on this, if this is too much for you, then how can you compromise on anything else?
I would just say on that mm-hmm. would be, if it's like my passion for reading graphic novels or watching anime or any of that, yeah, that's something that's not gonna replace her. But when it comes to something that could replace her, she might have a problem with.
Maybe it depends on the woman. Obviously, some women actually think it's kind of kinky and they get into it.
Some might. Yeah,
but
to talk about replacement, I think is wraps back around what we were talking about earlier with mm-hmm. polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so many people in the world,
mm-hmm.
especially when we're talking about, you know, online and long distance and stuff like that. There should never, ever, even if you're in a monogamous relationship, there should never, ever be, you know, a situation where you're giving up someone something that means a lot to you for
right.
another person, whether they're, you know, an actual person or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it comes to replacement, I would never think to replace one of my partners with another. That's just not in our vocabulary.
Absolutely.
Because I have a partner that, you know, fulfills a lot of my needs, and I have another partner that fulfills those needs that another person, that my other partner can't. It's not necessarily that they're being replaced, or even that jealousy is part of that equation. Replacement in terms of a person or thing, I just think that that's a very reductive way to think about the important things or people in our lives.
Well, the polyamory thing makes more sense to me than...
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's a different world for you. Like I said, there's actually a world of this now, because it's not just about dolls. People have pillows, people have plushies, people have everything. They're little VR avatars. There's so much stuff coming out that I can't even keep track of it.
Well, and what I'm saying and stuff is, too, but...
Well, no, but you're not involved with them in the way that these people are. And it's a little different. It's something new.
Yeah.
It's something that not everybody's going to be able to accept, and but it is definitely happening. It's already happened. You know, there's thousands of men that are married to fictional characters in Japan. Thousands, according to the information that I've received. And I've got somebody looking further into that, because I was like, I didn't know it was that high. I literally did not know it was that high. I mean, I could understand... You know, like, I was like, marriage? Thousands? I was really surprised by that. And that's the thing, man. I mean, this is not something that's going to go away. It's something that's going to continue as long as people have this avenue that they have. We can get dolls right now that look like Tifa and Aerith, and they look like the spinning image of them. And they're, I mean, I was looking, a guy was showing me pictures. I was like, oh my God, it looks just like Tifa. It looks just like Aerith. And I mean, they have this, it's called Game Lady Doll. Basically, they make dolls that look one-for-one representations. And it's all handmade. They even actually had to take them down in Japan because they were afraid that Squaresoft was going to find out and get them in trouble. Yes, they're that lifelike. I mean, when I was shown the picture of these, my jaw fell to the floor, because I was like, oh wow. And we've got anime dolls now. There's this one company, I can't quite remember what they're called, Elsa Babe. They make the literal 2D waifu 3D. I mean, it is so lifelike. You're not going to get anything that looks closer to anime than that. And I was really surprised at just how far they went with the anime faces. Because, I mean, all you have to really do is design a face. You know, the bodies are just regular bodies. But I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And, of course, they did Rem from ReZero. Seems to be a really popular one. They did 2B from Nier Automata. You know, they did all these characters. And I'm like, my God. And apparently these things are very, very popular, because they're selling like you wouldn't believe. I'm surprised these game companies aren't trying to make money off of them, because these are almost like official products. When I first got my doll, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. I never expected the jump that this community has made in 4 or 5 years. I didn't expect people would really be still talking about this shit in 4 or 5 years. You know, I barely even really mess with my doll. It basically just lays in the bed. I sleep on the couch.
Poor doll.
I sleep on the couch. I mean, that's just how it's been lately. Since I got diagnosed with my acid reflux, I have to pretty much lay propped up, and I have to have pillows propped up on the couch. That's the only way I can really sleep now. So, because I'm not going to turn the whole bed. I don't like doing that. That made me feel weird when I did that. Yeah, you have to turn the bed diet, the whole bed diet. Yeah, I can't do that. That messes with me.
Huh.
So, yeah, it does some weird
things. I don't think that it's necessarily particularly a doll phase. I've seen in the women's sphere a lot of women who are like, fuck men, I'm just going to get my bad dragon. Or, you know, I'm going to get whatever. There's definitely not an equal part for the women, but there's definitely a mirroring. And the interesting thing, especially when you talk about Japan and the amount of quote unquote, I'm just going to call it fictional marriages.
Yeah.
Because there are married to fictional characters. Japan is a very aging community.
Yes.
They are having a rough time getting their birth rates up.
Yep.
And I have a feeling, given how maybe some changes might go here in America, that we might have issues with that soon.
Yes.
Millennials, Gen Z are having very low birth rates, very low marriage rates.
Yes.
And now, granted, there are going to be people in a society who doesn't matter, they want kids.
Right.
They're, you know, regardless. And it's not, you know, because of situation, but I think we do need to be more open and more supportive of either whether it be single mothers or single fathers, or just have it so that these people who want a family no matter what can get that, you know, that support and maybe that dream a little bit easier, especially because, you know, it's reproduction. It's, you know, continuing on humanity or whatnot. But when I say stuff like live and let live, whether you want to spend, you know, that special time with something or someone that's not necessarily a living, breathing person, that I don't see why you should say no to that. If something right. makes someone happy, let them be happy, for absolutely. God's sake.
Yeah, that's one thing I mean, and I've actually, because I was talking to him recently, but he's a therapist, but he's in a very high, like he was in a lower rung, but now he's in a very prestigious place where he works now. And he says, I want more information on doll owners. He says, he basically wants me on the show, a bunch of other people, to basically talk about our relationships with the dolls. He's very curious about that part of it. And he's also, mm-hmm. he wants to know how people think about it. So I've basically given him a bunch of YouTube videos and a Twitter video where it was something that was done in the UK back in 2017, and the UK was very, very pissed about it. And basically, they had all kinds of horrible, inhuman, absolutely diabolical, just stuff that you wouldn't expect people to care so much, but they do. Yeah. And I'm just like, why are people so judgmental of somebody that's chosen something different? It almost makes me wonder if it has something to do with, like, just the environment, or maybe just what we're taught, you know, you're supposed to do it like this. And if somebody does something...
I can definitely put my hands up for that one, because growing up and just growing up as a woman, mm-hmm. it's always the same set of questions. When are you going to date? Mm-hmm. When are you going to marry? And then it always comes to, when are you going to have kids? Mm-hmm. And there's the myth that, you know, once you hit 30, it's going to be really hard to get pregnant.
Right.
And as a woman, it's this constant social pressure of, when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? Well, I still get asked that even though I can't have kids.
Right.
So, 20 just yeah, and I would say that idea maybe is pushed a little bit more on women than it is on men, but it's still a global thing.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got to have kids at some point. Everyone's got to reproduce. Well, yeah. Goddamn, there's so many people on Earth right now.
Well, I mean, we are going to have...
Someone decides they don't want to have kids. Right. Fine.
Yeah, I mean, in, you know, lower... I mean, lower birth rates are definitely a thing. And I mean, they're looking into artificial womb. I mean, Elon Musk talked about artificial womb. And I think the artificial womb will be a thing. I mean, if people do want to have kids, they'll be able to do it like that. So, I mean, I don't think
And there's always really... surrogates. Mm-hmm. Always going to be surrogates.
Yeah, there's some issues with surrogates, though. I mean, there's always bad things that can happen with that. But, I mean...
there's... bad things can happen with everything.
Yeah, there's always bad things that can happen there. They always try to dissuade surrogates because there's some women that will want to pay child support. I mean, this has happened where they'll want to pay child mm-hmm. support on the surrogate. Like, damn. So, yeah, that's a thing, unfortunately. Yeah, it does happen. But, yeah.
I know a lot of women that just like being pregnant.
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with
if
that.
You just want to keep having babies, whether or not you know, they're yours or someone else's, and you end up, you know, giving them to different parents before, if you just like being pregnant, more power to you.
Absolutely.
Definitely not me, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This has been a pretty good conversation, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I know one of the things you wanted to talk about a bit more, we talked about earlier, was... censorship.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you. That's where we're going to go from there. Okay. So, what I was saying about that is, well, if you didn't know, my YouTube channel got completely removed, and it sucks because, I mean, they, look, I did everything. I talked to other content creators that make the same level of material, and they're like, they're messing with you. They're treating you like crap. It's not right. And I had a lot of content there that was completely, you know, censored. Everything was censored. I had stuff in there that didn't even have any hentai at all. It was, you know, it didn't even have any sexual, like, sound of drop I did. I did Fatal 12. I did a lot of stuff on there that was not even... And they still took me down. And, of course, I'm talking to Purity Sin, and Purity Sin's like, they're hitting me on adult sites. I'm like, what do you mean they're trying to take your stuff down on adult sites? What's wrong with the material you're doing? It's only hentai. How bad can it be? Granted, I probably went too far with Starless. I think I might have pushed it a little too far with Starless, and I will definitely take the blame for that because I think I went too far when I did Meterized Path, which, of course, is the animal path. And I think even though I edited all that mess out, even just talking about it, even just text and stuff, was, I guess, too much for YouTube. You know, they left it up for 2 weeks before they deleted the whole channel, though. I mean, I had time to post.
I think there's an interesting bias when it comes to Japanese or animated content in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's misplaced. I think that, for lack of a better term, I think that's a your business boomer mindset, that anything that is animated is for kids.
Right.
Which includes anime or hentai or something like that, which is completely, I don't know. It's wrong. I was just talking to a friend not too long ago who's got really invested with certain games on Steam that are, as far as I'm concerned, edogay visual novels, but they're not anime. So stuff like, oh gosh, what did he call it? There was a... Being a Dick, and there was also another one that I can't remember.
We're playing that after we get done this interview, actually. Yep, we play
those.
They don't have,
like, anime aesthetic. Mm-hmm. They're more of, like, a kind of Western-feeling animation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're great.
And a lot of those games get okayed on Steam, and I went on this whole rant with my friend the other day. Mm-hmm. He told me to shut up, but... you'll have games that are sold by maybe Jast or Manga Gamer or whoever is localizing these edogay.
Yeah.
They'll try to put it on Steam, and Steam will either say, you know, we don't want it at all, or you've got to edit it all out. Meanwhile, they have stuff where that is completely explicit, way more than anything that, you know, those games that they were trying to get on there even attempt to look at, but because it's on that anime scale, it's a big no-no.
Yeah.
That is. And I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
I'm really upset. Okay, I'm really upset myself about that because I've noticed it. Obviously, me and DP both got into Being a Dick. Like we're gonna, like I said, we're playing that as soon as we get done with the interview.
I'm gonna have to get a copy pretty soon.
Oh yeah, it's a great game, I think. And there's so many different paths in it, so you want to go back and play it because you're like, oh man, what a twist! There's so many different things.
Yeah.
My friend who's never picked up any sort of like porn game or anything has spent like 50 plus hours on it.
Oh,
and he's
great.
Like, oh my god, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, why don't you try this or this or this? And I start throwing edogay at him, and he's like, oh no, that's weird hentai shit. And I'm like, what do you mean?
What's the difference?
That's what you're playing.
It's like, what's the difference? It's literally the player models. But
yeah, but it has anime style, so it's weird.
I know, anime and all
whatever.
That, I get more invested into that than I do, like, real live TV shows.
Oh, yeah, stuff is really, the stuff is really good. Like,
well written.
Yeah, I mean, I got into the, like I said, I'm still playing through Starless and torturing myself the whole while, and I'm still
People
going through.
Be asking why you got PTSD.
I mean, started playing Bible Black, going back to the originals, probably going to start doing Discipline. I mean, I like those. I like those classic ones, and I also, you know, that's the Sagara family got remastered. There's a lot of old stuff that's coming back, and I'm glad to see it. But yeah, I just get into all these different things, and the we did, let's see, we did Being a Dick, we did acting lessons for a little bit, or maybe I did acting lessons, and we also did what was it, City of Broken Dreamers?
Was that
that's the cyberpunk one? Yeah, yeah, that one's. No, they did care for that.
Oh, they did?
Yes, I looked at the views on BitChute. Well,
I think at first they didn't, because you told me they didn't seem to like it.
They didn't seem to like it, but you have to give them time and they'll pick up on it. Yeah. That's one thing. BitChute doesn't seem to mind when we post those uncensored, but I don't want to post anything on there like hentai-related uncensored. It's really bizarre.
Graham and DP review porn next, you know.
Yeah, it's just...
See how far you can take it?
It's just, I don't know, it's absolutely ridiculous. They really unfairly destroyed me. I had like 500 videos. I had a full playthrough of fucking Closed Game on there. I had all of Celestia's Path done. And I was like, no, you idiots. I posted, you know, I tried to bring it back. And then I tried to bring it back again. And they're like, nope, we can't do this. And I'm just like, wow, what is the problem?
Yeah, I chalk a lot of that up to, especially the YouTube stuff, I chalk a lot of that up to, oh, it's animated, must be for kids. Oh no, there's something on here that isn't kid-friendly, take it down.
But also, keep in mind, all my videos, every single one, was aged for adults. You couldn't even access it unless you were 18.
Well, you can still find plenty of nudity on YouTube.
Yeah, without being 18. Matter of fact, there were a bunch of guys in my server that was showing me, hey, this is on there, and I'm looking at, what? What do you mean this is on there? They got rid of me? And you know what other guys, there were other guys doing rants. They did all of Rants 9. And they blurred out the hentai scenes, but they're there. I mean, they literally read them. I'm like, okay, so this guy's reading the hentai scenes. This guy's reading the hentai scenes that I took out, and he's still up, and I'm gone. And I was just really surprised by that. I'm like, I'm taking things out. Like, there's guys doing maggot baits, and they were straight up reading the hentai scenes again, blurring things
and
out.
Reading the ooh, don't stop deeper. You know, it kills the moment anyway.
Oh, well, I know that, but I'm just saying that they don't seem to
mind. It's unfair. It's definitely unfair.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and I was really pissed. I was really mad for a long time because, like, I wasn't even expecting it. I came home from work one day. I looked at my emails. Your channel has been deleted. I'm like, what? I was
I think that's one of the problems that I have because I want to start making content. Maybe start VTubing or something. But I would, you know, I'd want to read Karano Shoujo or read Love Love or something like that. And I'm terrified of, like, man, I'm going to get cut down before I even get views.
I was saying, so, do it on that.
I don't even know where to go.
You can try, like I would say Odyssey, but Odyssey, they've changed their stuff. So I would try BitChute. Just try it on BitChute and see if you can get people on BitChute. If not, I'm not really sure where else you can go.
I mean,
because Purity,
hurt you to try it on YouTube.
Yeah, try it on YouTube, but also have a backup on BitChute. That way, you know, tell people, hey, they knocked us off, so check us out on BitChute. And people will go back, and they will look at your videos, and they will sub to you there. BitChute's a slightly smaller audience. It's run in the UK, but it will have, I mean, it's a shot. It's a chance. And Odyssey, I would
how to make that VTuber avatar first, though. It's going to take me a minute.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's fine. I mean, because Purity Sin is the one that's trying that. And again, she's really straddling the lines here. I've looked at some of the stuff she's doing, and I'm like, you know, you need to be careful. You know, and she actually VTubes with her husband, her boyfriend, whatever one. So I mean, they're not bringing the whole... That's one thing you have to worry about when you're a VTuber. You're going to get an army of simps. So some of them... Yeah. So some of them, you know, they're just going to be like... They will be... Yeah, they'll be horses' asses. They're going to try to harass you. They're going to do all kinds of stupid shit. You just got to be... careful on that.
I mean, it's the lifestyle of being an e-girl. I totally get it. Right. I was just getting ready to do some Clash yesterday on League of Legends and messaged a whole bunch of people on my friends list and forgot about one that basically all I said was, "Hey, do you want to Clash tonight?" And the guy was like, if I clash with you, will you send me your nude?" And I'm like, "Ah, what? Yes, you're one of those people. Man. You're one of those people who adds e-girls and writes notes on their profiles that says female."
That's goodbye. A just to play a game with somebody.
That is
exactly.
That's ridiculous.
No,
I didn't realize. It's like, what?
It's constant, dude. You could not even be a content creator and it's constant.
Oh my god.
I would never show a nude to someone I'd never met.
Hey, if I play a game of League of Legends with you, will you send me your nudes? Bitch, what?
It's like a
fuck out of here.
Right. On the other side. Like, oh my god, we're gonna see a real nude.
I mean, tomorrow. I've sexted and stuff before, but that's, you know, with consent of the other person, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, it's consent. It's a different story. And, of course, sometimes it gets in the really good conversation. We start talking about things. Sometimes it's sexual, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just a good icebreaker. But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, if she's into it, sure. But if somebody's like, nah, you know, I'm not into that,
you know,
it's what it is.
You know what breaks the ass? Sending a picture of my
I'm just looking
somebody.
For someone to play a game. Why are
right.
you being like this, dude?
Absolutely.
Like, calm down.
That's a problem. That's what I'm talking about. It's like men and women can't fucking talk to each other normally anymore because you got so many of these guys that just want nudes and feet pics.
Well, that makes...
My God, I'm telling you, the feet...
I guess the other party more suspicious, and so they won't... When somebody that just wants to hang out or talk...
Right.
They're, no, yeah. Not falling for this one.
Yeah, it's just like feet pics or something. Like, damn, I can't even believe how much women make off of damn feet pics.
I mean,
like,
it's summertime. Just go walking around. People are wearing sandals.
Right. It's
My feet are Sasquatch feet. That ain't happening anytime soon. But being a woman on the internet particularly, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a hikikomori, but most of my social spaces are on the internet. When I joined Twitter specifically to join in the visual novel sphere, there still is, and he's still doing this to this day, the main admin of VNDB and very vocal in the community, Gams, immediately started saying that I'm not real and I'm an alt of another person. And he's still saying that. He's still saying that to this day.
The
and every time I log on to Twitter... It's someone who's like, oh, you know, you're a piece of shit, you go fuck yourself. And I only says that because I'm a girl. If I said I was a dude that was just joining in the community, this wouldn't have been a problem. But, you know, oh, so-and-so is a female alt of this other person for the main fact that I'm a girl.
The same guy that let people put Rika up there. Rika is not a visual novel. I'm gonna fucking stand firm on this. I know what visual novels are, but when I played Holy Knight Rika, did that look like a visual novel
was
to
that
you?
The one that we played last, or we watched
we had
last
time with the girl and the sword and the jump in the platform. How much reading was there in that?
There's a lot of reading.
You did think there was a lot of reading?
I mean, there was in the cutscenes.
In the cutscenes, but
really
did the cutscenes?
Gameplay.
But do the cutscenes make the visual novel? They're trying to say, oh, there's enough in
but
there.
But there's Kill a Kill video game. There's no talking in it.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
that video.
And I'm like, okay, because there's a lot of cutscenes, and I was actually bringing up a real old one. I said, look, Xenogears, the second disc, they had to rush, so they basically turned it into a visual novel. The whole second disc is read in visual novel format. So I'm like, okay, if Rika is considered a visual novel according to these standards, then y'all might as well go ahead and put Xenogears in there because you've got an entire disc that's probably about 30 hours of reading. So there you go. I mean, that's...
I think there are definitely games that have visual novel aspects to them.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who will say 9 hours, 9 persons, 9 doors isn't a visual novel because it has, you know, puzzle gameplay sections puzzle or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But regardless of the fact, there's a lot of people, especially in the visual novel section,
yeah,
of just communities in general that, you know, girls don't read visual novels. Girls don't play video games. Girls aren't into edelge or porn or anything like that. There's a lot of times that I'll just say, oh, I'm just a guy, or I'll hide the fact that I'm a girl.
Right.
Because God forbid I come on a voice chat and say one single word.
Well, also,
I'll either get some simps or I'll get someone who's really aggressive.
Yeah, that's exactly why you have to hide your person. I mean, that sucks that you have to do that, but I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, there's guys that have not had any female contact at all. I mean, and I this is hard for me to believe. It's just hard for me to imagine. You know, I haven't had a whole lot. I mean, DP's obviously had more, but I had female friends. I've been intimate with women before and all that. It is what it is. But these guys are like, they've never so much as held a girl's hand.
I'm a social butterfly.
And they're just like, you don't know what to expect from them. They're like, oh my God, it's a girl. What do I do? And
even guys that are okay with talking to girls sometimes don't know what to do. Because the rules have changed so much since in high school.
Yeah, yeah. It's so hard to tell.
But, and plus, when you're being genuine and friendly and all that, some people will be on the offensive or defensive and be like, oh, well, they're only talking to me because A, B, or C, or anything, nothing having to do with being friendly.
Well, if you do believe the Manga Gamer study they did, I don't know, like they did that poll, they said how many women was it? Was it 29% of women that voted in
that
poll?
It was like close to 30.
Yeah, it was close to 30.
Yeah.
And that's actually a lot more than, like, I mean, I was expecting it maybe to be a little bit higher, but that's actually, that's a significant. They voted on what games they wanted to pick up for, you know, Rants 3 still on there. We still aren't going to get it, but, you know, anyway, they were picking what games to basically license for Manga Gamer, what the fans wanted. So, basically, there was 60-something men and 30, almost 30-something percent of women. And I was like, oh, that's good. I mean, that shows that, yeah, more women are getting into this, or maybe more women are coming. And, of course, there was about, what was it, 15, 10% other, 5% other, some weird percent that was just, like, other. But,
Other didn't want to say.
Yeah, other didn't want to say. But, yeah, it's good. It's showing that women are into... I mean, I knew they were.
Yeah.
I've looked at this stuff. I know there's a lot more women into this stuff than are, you know, willing to admit and talk about it. And it's a good thing that, you know, you're coming out and actually saying, yeah, I like this kind of stuff. I mean, it's good. So what are some of the visual novels that you're playing right now or eroge that you played recently?
Before I answer your question, I want to mirror to my experience with, with competitive gaming, because when I started doing competitive, going to collegiate, going to tournaments and stuff like that, the amount of aggression that I got from an uncomfortable amount of men in the space is the same sort of aggression that I got from the visual novel community when I finally started, you know, going to Twitter, saying my piece, all that kind of stuff.
Right,
man.
There's a lot of men who are really intimidated when women start going into male-dominated spaces. And even when you see stuff like the Manga Gamer poll of, 30% women or whatnot, people get really upset by that. Or they say, you know, oh, people lied, or people just said they were a woman or whatever. So yeah, the amount of aggression is way too much. In terms of stuff that I'm reading right now, I'm actually rereading Euphoria and writing a piece on it for my website. I'll actually send you a link to that.
Okay, cool. I would like to look at that because, of course, I have finished Euphoria. I had problems with it. I had a lot of problems with
is
it.
That's
the one that I found. Yes, the White Room. Okay. Now, see, I had a lot of problems with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can go into that just a little bit. My problem with Euphoria, because I know you and I have both played it, I feel like it didn't know what kind of game it wanted to be. Because, you know, we have three, or what I consider four sections of Euphoria. And the first section I consider to be the hyper-sex part. You know, where it was all about mm-hmm. hypersexuality and different, you know, fetishes and things like that. But then the whole second part of Euphoria has absolutely no sex scenes whatsoever. It's mostly like a Saw-type game where you're basically trying to save the girls before something not sexual, but something gory, something brutal happens to them. So it really kind of was out of place. And then, of course, you have...
Right.
The school
you had
section.
At the very end was either, depending on which route you go, was like a cult thing or a romance novel.
Yeah,
One of the reasons why I'm writing this piece for Euphoria, this is like the third time I've read it to completion, but one of the reasons why it's one of my favorites is because it has a really... a really nuanced way of talking about paraphilia. When we talk about paraphilia, we talk about stuff like being attracted to rape or scat play or, you know, some of the stuff that's shown in Euphoria. A lot of culturally, we do not have very good tools for talking about or explaining paraphilia and what it means to have a paraphilia. Euphoria is very interesting, mostly because the main narrator is the person with paraphilic inclinations.
Right.
And when you were talking about that second part, the Saw part, right?
Yeah.
You have, depending on which route you go. So for instance, if you go into the route with Rika, the really small girl, he kind of falls into a really fucked up situation and his mind kind of falls down the rabbit hole, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
And has to really deal with the fact of do I actually want something really horrible to happen to this person, or is this just, you know, my sexuality coming out in different ways?
Right.
With characters like Nemu, who is probably one of my favorite characters in visual novels, period, is that she... This is a spoiler, so if you don't want to listen to spoilers, just, you know, close your ears. But she is known for a very long time that her, you know, the person she loves has paraphilia. So when they're stuck in this situation, she eggs him on, hey, pick me, hey, pick me, hey, pick me, hey, pick me. Which is definitely a sort of, a weird sort of, you know, consent to the situation. But you notice that no one else in the situation, except for maybe the teacher, kind of gives him some sort of consent. She is the only one who gives him some sort of consent. And not only does she give him consent, but she gives him the same sort of enthusiastic, paraphilic consent of, I know what you know, what you are, you know, I'm going to egg you on.
Yeah.
And through that, he kind of comes to this realization of putting his paraphilia and his inclinations next to what does it mean to love someone, especially when you want, you know, you want to do terrible sexual things to your loved one.
Right.
What does that mean for the person? And this is not something that we talk about in our culture at all, which is one of the reasons why Euphoria is one of my favorite visual novels, is because it's very nuanced at talking about that sort of stuff.
Well, see, okay, that being said, I mean, I've seen the ending. I looked at the final epilogue, and I have the most questions on the epilogue. Because obviously very little is talked about on the epilogue. When he finds Nemu, this is the super spoiler, so, you know, if you haven't read it, just skip it. But he finds her basically in the body, like, she has her same body, but she has the mind of a 12-year-old girl now. Like, she's literally been regressed. And this is a different character. This is, he has changed. Remember, he basically got trained, was it by the teacher? I think the teacher trained him to be an assassin. He was trained to be an assassin, and, you know, he's learned discipline, and he's able to handle a lot of his stuff a lot better than than when he was a younger man. And they talked about him growing a lot, maturing a lot as a person. So what I'm wondering is, how does he go about this situation with her being in the body of a 12-year-old, because the most she's going to see him as is a father at this point. So it's going to be very hard for him to actually consider her as like a partner when she's, you know, treating him like Okasa and stuff like that. It's just not gonna, it just seems to me personally that that's going to be really difficult. And I don't think I could personally see a partner, especially, you know, now that he's mature. And he's not like he was when he was younger. He may have a little bit of, he's like, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't take advantage of her like that because, you know, she's not the same Nemu anymore. She's a 12-year-old girl.
That
kind of
almost.
So and I'll just kind of explain what my take on it is, because there's a lot of different ways that you can take that epilogue. But through his maturation and through his kind of learning about himself and what his sexuality means for himself and the people around him, the understanding and the idea that I have is that a person's sexuality, while it can be, you know, kind of manipulated by the person's upbringing, is something that's inherently a part of someone's, someone, and just in general. So from what we've learned from Nemu, from the white rooms, from the, you know, the second section or the saw section or whatnot, is that she has paraphilic intent too.
Yeah.
That is part of who she is. You can make the argument, I wish there was a second part of this game, but you can make the argument that Nemu needs some help with her paraphilic intent as well.
Yeah.
And given that there is a decent amount of some time manipulation in this game, and, you know, as you say, him being somewhat of a father figure, she needs some help and guidance as well.
Yeah. So that's probably So that's the way I would see it, that he's become more of a father to her now, which makes sense because, you know, I mean, even though she is the same body, you know, she was in that tube or whatever that was basically giving the rich guys their dreams. But, you know, basically, yeah, she's going to be like a daughter to him. I mean, I don't think... I don't know if he'll ever remarry. I don't know if he'll marry. I don't know what he'll do. But it's one of those really interesting things that you think about because, you know, despite everything that was going on, he came back to her even though, you know, she's in this state now. And it's something that he's got to deal with as a parent now because of the situation. I mean, you cannot pretty much be partners with somebody that has the mind of a 12-year-old girl. You can't do it. It's and I'm not even saying because of the legal or morality base. I'm saying it's impossible to do it on a just a human level. There's no way you're going to
scale.
Yeah.
It's like
I hesitate to say it as a father figure and more of as a guidance. Because I hesitate to say lovers, but as children they loved each other. They were, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend as kids.
But will she remember
and now
him?
That yeah now that just because of what Kanae had did in the situation and fucked everything up, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But now that he has matured, he can lend that hand as, I know what you're going through. I've been through this, you know, let me help you go through this as a sort of, I hesitate to say as a parent figure, but as a, you know, they love each other. And if he can help her with the same sort of, you know, fucked up feelings that no one else can really help them with, then I, you know, that's a hopeful ending. Whether or not they end up getting together sexually or not, it's a hopeful ending. I see it as a hopeful ending because, right. There's not much talk, especially with women with paraphilia. Yeah. They're fetishized. No one really helps with that kind of stuff. Men with paraphilic intent are demonized.
Yes.
So I saw it very much more as a hopeful ending of, you know, someone really fucked us up and someone really, really fucked us up.
Right.
But this is who we are, and we're going to help each other through it.
Okay. Well, I think that is our show, but I'm going to check and see if there's any questions for you that anybody might have before we end it. Okay. Well, I'm not really seeing anybody in there today. That's okay. We're going to have this one on.
It is fairly late, so.
Yeah. Okay, because I'll put you on BitChute. I'll do the BitChute stuff. I don't usually do my interviews on BitChute, but I'll do that because the normal site I upload to, it's just, they've changed a lot. They've got all these guys on there that are basically pickup artists, and the guys are into that more. And I mean, it's whatever.
Go ahead and put it on both platforms.
But we're going to put it on there, but I just think it might get more hits on BitChute.
Well, yeah.
So we're going to put it on BitChute, and we're going to put it on, of course, MGTOW.TV. I like MGTOW.TV because they let me do hentai, and I actually asked them. I said, look, it's changing. You know, we've got news on there from a source. They've got all kinds of stuff on there that they used to never have. They got people from YouTube that are very, very popular, get monetized. They have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. They're on there now. So I'm like, man, like, my hentai is really not doing as well as it used to. So basically,
hang in there.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to continue because I asked them, I said, do you guys still want the content? And they're like, yeah, we still want it. And of course, the owner said, yeah, we're just expanding a little bit. Don't worry too much about it. And I'm like, well, my view counts are going to shit, kind of, but,
well,
I mean,
expanding's good. Just wait till the people that want to see it come
right,
to the platform.
Right, that's true. But, I mean, of course, and BitChute started going way up. So I'm like, damn. So I'm going to put you on there. I'll put you on MGTOW.TV. And I guess that's going to be all I can. I would try Odyssey and all these other platforms, but I just don't have the time today to manage a million platforms. That's one thing, because I've got to work and got all these other situations going on. So yeah. It is what it is. Anyway, hey, it sucks we don't have any interview questions or anything like that. But it was getting a little late anyway, and we've got to get being a dick done. Yeah. It's surprising that you mentioned it because yeah, that's the one we've been playing. Man. We're almost on. Are we on the fourth?
On C. Or,
we're on?
Or on eight something.
No, we're on four. So we're almost done the whole first season. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much again. That's always fun talking to y'all.
Oh, yeah. And since you have a website, why don't you go ahead and shill it for us?
Shill it? You
can actually, let me pull it up right now. It is a WordPress website.
That's fine.
The landing page is a warning page, so you gotta kind of sift through that. Kind of has to be that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I'll put it in the shill yourselves page or area.
Yeah, and I'll have to read that one. Okay, it's, oh Lord, yeah, I'm gonna have to spell that one out just a little bit. Okay, so it's called Oba Academy? Did I get that right?
Yes. Yes, it is the same name as the academy in Kara no Shoujo. So.
Okay, so it's HTTPS. Yeah, we got that. obaacademy.wordpress.com. So you guys can go there and check out Discovering and Discussing Explicit Sexuality in Media, which definitely interests me. And I hope you'll cover, you know, more stuff. I mean, maybe you'll cover, like, some of the being a dick. Definitely, if you haven't gotten into those kind of novels, I highly recommend you look into those. I think you're going to be really, really impressed with some of the themes that go on in being a dick. Especially, you know, when you're talking about consent and all that kind of thing. You're going to see a lot of stuff like that. It's surprisingly well written.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, definitely check it out. All right. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, Dead Penetration, and Maya, and we are out of here. We'll see you guys next time on Grim Interviews.